Okay, you have your notes. Trust in the Lord today is the topic that we're the study we're on. It's one of the most fundamental truths in the Bible for you to trust, truly trust in the Lord. And I want to start here with the first scripture, New King James, Psalm 37, 3 through 5. And it says, trust in the Lord. Everybody say, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. I want to read the Passion Translation. Next set of scriptures. Keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in His eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God, and you will be secure, feasting on His faithfulness. Make God. That's a command. We are to make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life, and He will provide for you what you desire the most. Give God the right to direct your life. And as you trust Him along the way, you'll find He pulled it off perfectly. And so I love the Passion. I've been really getting blessed by the Passion Translation lately. So this is a common message preached all around the world many, many times. This set of scriptures has been preached probably, almost as much as John 3:16. But trust, delight, and commit. These are three very important things. I'll be preaching on trust today. Amy will be in the pulpit next week preaching on delight, and then I'll come back and preach on commit. And commit and trust are very similar, okay? Very, very similar. But and I believe over these next 3 weeks, we can be greatly strengthened. Of course, I'm not going to try and go through all these notes today, but why do I do this? Again, so you can take these notes. And these are the scriptures that God gave me in my heart. I want to share them with you and do your coffee and notes together every morning with me, okay? It's not big, but you've got to get these scriptures in your heart, family, okay? And so we're told to trust in the Lord. Let's get a couple more scriptures out there, and then I'll tell a couple stories and then give you some points on why we should trust the Lord, okay? So another verse, Psalm 4:5, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. I like that. That's an action. That's a proactive. Put your trust in the Lord. Okay. Trust. Do we know what the word trust means? We do. Do I need to give you the Greek on it? I will anyway. Trust in the Greek, it means trust. Okay. There you go. We know it's a very common word. We understand it because all and every one of our relationships are based on trust. Okay? Everything when it comes to a relationship, the foundation is trust. That is fundamental to any relationship. Strangers don't have trust with each other, do they? Because you don't know anything about the stranger. But God says, I am your God. I'm your creator, your maker, your redeemer, your savior. I am your best friend. I am the lover of your soul. I am the beginning and the end of your life. I am the one who watches over your life from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. That's Deuteronomy 11. I am the one in Psalm 34, 18. My eye is on you constantly. I know what's in your heart before you know what's in your heart. I know the words that are being formed on your tongue before you know what you're going to say. This God says that we should trust Him. Well, He's not the God of hate. He's the God of love. He's not the God of the double-minded. He's the Lord God. He changes not. Same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So when we talk, and by the way, He's not just a God with some power. He's all-powerful, okay? He's El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. He knows the end from the beginning. So, you know, He's the omnipotent one, all-powerful. He's the omniscient one, all-knowing. And He's the omnipresent one everywhere at the same time. Now, no matter where you go in the earth, God's already there. No matter what storm you get in, He's in the midst of that storm. And He says, there'll be no temptation taking you but such as common to men. But God is faithful. And that's when you have a trusting relationship. If that person on the other side is unfaithful, then you can't have trust. You know, you can't have trust. You know, you think about relationships and what torpedoes them and sinks them is when that relationship has suffered, you know, a broken promise. Or, you know, I remember we had a great guy in our church. Man, he was, this goes back to maybe the second year, Amy, we were pastoring here. I don't remember his name now. But he was really a good brother. And he loved the Lord. He fell back into crystal meth. Okay? Crystal meth got him again. And I'm talking to him. And he says, Pastor Matt, on my mother's grave, I found out his mother wasn't dead, but on my mother's grave, this money you give me is going to keep our lights on. And I put my arm around my brother, foreheads touched. I said, I believe in you. And he took that money and went out and bought crystal meth with it. You know, he wasn't even, you know, we had a former person at the river who was one of our staff people. He was a crystal meth addict until he was 34 years old. And he said, crystal meth will make a liar out of everybody. If you get addicted on that, you will lie. And so what we found out, that was a revelation that we've seen many times over through in the church, people fall into drugs. That drug gets a hold of them. They will lie straight to your face. Okay, and once that relationship has been damaged, it's very hard to have any trust in that relationship anymore. But it can't happen. I mean, you know, we can be restored. We can be back into the light and established. And so, we understand it, right? Every relationship you got is only as good as the trust you have, right? You guys in agreement with me on that? So trusting the Lord, we are to put our trust in the Lord because He's trustworthy. You know, what's His name? Faithful and true. He's the Amen of God. So be it. He's the yes and amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. All the promises of God are yes and amen. It says that all the promises of God have been purified 7 times over and can be trusted. So if there's the one person, the one personality in your life that you ought to be able to trust, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God Almighty. He loves you unconditionally. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's never going to give up on you. He is the one rock in your life that you can base everything else on. When everybody else forsakes you and runs from you and hates you and deserts you and just doesn't believe in you, God will never be in that crowd. He's right there with you. You trust Him. You trust Him even in the midst of failure. Why? Because His promises says, even when you're faithless, I'm going to be remaining faithful to you. I will not deny myself my covenant with you. Oh, how wonderful it is to put our trust in the Lord. Let's read the next one. In Psalm 26:1, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. I just love the fact that somebody could say, I trust you without wavering. If David could say that, you and I can say that. I trust you without wavering. Let's get to that point in our life where we're not wavering. We don't have an attitude toward God like He's forgotten me or He doesn't love me or, you know, that he has others that are more favorite. God doesn't think like that, guys. He has a crush on you. Who knows a scripture that can tell you that God's got a crush on you? Oh, Amy, you had to be... You don't even know that because I shared that with you. No. Amy and I, we love this verse, Jeremiah 31:3. I've loved you with an everlasting love. 1 John. Yes. Perfect love casts out fear. Where there's fear, there's torment. But perfect love casts out that fear. Let's read the next one. Isaiah 50, verse 10. This will apply to some of us today. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of His servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on His God. So at times, that's going to be our testimony. You're going to be in a place of darkness. You're going to be in a place where there just doesn't seem to be any light, any hope, any direction. There's fears within, Paul said, and fears without. You know, you're surrounded by, he said, wild beasts of Ephesus. You know, and so you come to this point. He said, perils in the city, perils in the country, perils in the water, perils among false brethren. He had people betraying him. I mean, guys, everything around him was moving like an earthquake. The ground under him was shaking and cracking except God. That's why he says, and I think I have it here. I think I have it here, and I do. The last scripture, turn on the other, on the backside here of the notes. 2 Corinthians 1:8, I'm going to read God's Word in the Amplified to give you a flavor of how Paul learned to trust God. God's Word says, "Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be ignorant about the suffering we experienced in the province of Asia. It was so extreme that it was beyond our ability to endure." Let me see your hand if you've been in something, a trial so extreme you didn't think you were going to make it. Let me see your hand. Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, then you probably haven't stepped outside your house very much. There is something that's going to grab you. It's the way life is, guys. The enemy goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so he's going to do his attacks. And we have to be stalwart, lion-hearted, steadfast, unmovable. And only way we're going to be unmovable is because we put our trust in the Lord, and we, those who trust the Lord, are like Mount Zion. It says unmovable. Because God Himself surrounds Jerusalem, surrounds us like the mountains that surround Jerusalem. Oh my gosh, we are surrounded. I hear Elisha saying, "Oh Lord, open the young lad's eyes that he might see there's more with us than with him." And God opened that young man's eyes and saw all the angels that were surrounding the enemy that was surrounding them. Man, we can trust God is the all-powerful one. He is faithful to us. Okay? And so Paul went on to say that he was in this trial that was so extreme that it was beyond his ability to endure it. He thought, "We even wondered if we were going to go on living. We still feel as if we're under a death sentence. But we suffered so that we would stop trusting ourselves and learn to trust God, who brings the dead back to life. He has rescued us from a terrible death, and He will rescue us in the future. We are confident that He will continue to rescue us." How many of you ever had a parent teach you how to swim? And you were scared of the water, but that parent convinced you to take a dive or to jump in. Have you seen that YouTube that went viral, the two children learning to swim? It's so funny. It went millions have seen it. YouTube, little like he looks like he's three. He's got his floaties on, and he's at the edge of the pool, and the big sis. There's two brothers here and the big sister, and big sister's like 16, and you know there's a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old, and so the sister's teaching him, "This is how you do it," and you know, and she dove into the water, And then the next little minnow, you know, the next one kind of followed with, you know, it's pretty good. And you could see this third one. He's got a little pot belly, little boy. And he's just sitting there shaking his head. And he didn't even put his arms out. He just resigned. In fact, I'm going to die. And so he just, like this, fell flat. He just went, bump. It was over. Really, really cute. But the mentality that he had was, I can't believe they're making me do this. This is torture. I'm going to die. We're all going to die. You're going to die. Name the movie, please. Nobody knows the name. What about Bob? Ziggy, what about Bob? Okay, let's read 2 Corinthians 1:8 in the Amplified. For we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about the affliction and the oppressive distress that befell us in the province of Asia, how we were so utterly and unbearably weighed down and crushed that we despaired even of life itself. Indeed, we felt within ourselves that we had received the very sentence of death, but that was to keep us from trusting in and depending on ourselves instead of on God who raises the dead. How much can you trust God? He can raise the dead. If he can raise the dead, he can raise you up out of your mess. Okay? For it is he who rescued and saved us from such a perilous death, and he will still rescue and save us. In and on him we have set our hope, our joyful and confident expectation that he will again deliver us from danger and destruction and draw us to himself. And so this morning, guys, all these scriptures, and we're not going to read any more scriptures, but these scriptures about trusting in the Lord, I could have literally filled up 10 pages of scriptures with the same thought. Put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. Those of you that are walking in darkness and you haven't got any light, what are you going to do? Are you going to complain? Are you going to murmur? Are you going to have a bad attitude? Maybe self-medicate? Get a resist, escape? No. Take your position in the Lord, in righteousness. Hold your head up and declare that I don't care if the furnace is 7 times hotter, my God is faithful to me. His eye is on me right now. I love the song, His Eye is on the Sparrow. You guys heard that song? If His eye is on the sparrow and 2 sparrows don't even make a penny, that's what the Bible says, a sparrow's worth 0.5 cent. How much more value, and that's what Jesus said, how much more value are we than sparrows? In Matthew 6. Your heavenly Father knows what things you have need of even before you ask. Now, again, I want to go over this. This is what the trial is meant to do. The trial comes to you to test your faith. Okay? Now, and it says that your faith will be tried like gold that is tried in a fire. Okay? It's refined. How is gold refined? By fire. Fire. And fire means what to you and me in our life? It means there's difficult circumstances that are impinging upon me, that encroaching upon me. It's surrounded me. David said, like bees. The enemies are like bees that are buzzing around me. My enemies are more, another place he said, than the hair on my head. I can't even count how many enemies I have. And so the idea is that we are supposed to be able to walk into that fiery furnace knowing there's a fourth man in the fire with me, that he's going in with me. And if he goes in with me, he's bringing me out. Okay? Oh, church, let's trust the Lord. It makes everything sweet. You know about faith, trust is related to our faith in God. William Gurnall said this, a Puritan preacher in 1650 that I talk about. In the book, The Christian Complete Armor, he talks about you know, how important it is to build your faith and have strong faith. And he says, but even feeble faith beats a well-worn path to the throne of grace. He says, but if you drop your faith at that moment, your shield of faith, at that moment, Satan will walk across the threshold of your life as victor. No matter. And he made this illustration. He said, you know, a big boat, like a big boat, like we would say a luxury liner, or an aircraft carrier, it'll get you across the ocean in a whole lot more comfort than a little dinghy, a little boat. You know, you'll be seasick on that little boat. But even that little boat can get you to the other side. He said, but why go in a little boat? Why not? I mean, if you've got to cross the ocean, find a big boat. Don't go across in a little life raft. And he said, the people don't build their trust in God. He said, man, trust God. Trust God. Learn to trust God. When circumstances say there is no God or God's forgotten you, stand up and say, I got a heavenly Father that's greater than them all. No man can pluck me out of His hand. You put the Word of God, and I've got some, you know, just a smattering of what, you know, on trust. I have thoughts here of trusting the Lord. If we live life on our life, own life, life will become a great hassle, or worse, the great nightmare. But if we live life with God at our side, trusting Him moment by moment, life will become the great adventure. So this is where I want to take us. Let's trust God and have an adventure. How many of you want to trust God and have an adventure? Or without trusting God, you're going to have a migraine. Every time that I find myself not trusting God intentionally, I begin to get nervous. My eyes begin to blink. I twitch. And if you get real close to me, I might slug you. I mean, weird things begin to happen. How many of you think that Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde actually happens? The more that you don't trust God, the more that thing inside you begins to... You ever see Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the 1930... Which one? What's that? Oh, okay, Julie. I saw the one with the later... Oh, the later one. You know, but he's sitting there, you know, talking... All of a sudden, he jerks. You know, kind of scares you. I eat my popcorn a little faster now, you know. And then he starts to transform into, what is it? The Hyde, Mr. Hyde, you know, comes out. When you don't trust God, you're going to get nasty with something. You're going to get ugly. Your face is going to get distorted. There'll be a contortion you're going to start just getting all twisted up. And nothing's going to sound good. No, I don't want that double dip of chocolate chip cookie ice cream. Nothing can make you happy then. You know, you're so bent because of because you didn't trust God. Church family, let's trust Him today. Trust the Lord. And again, if you go back to the Passion Translation, it says, when you keep trusting the Lord and you fix your heart on the promises of God, you'll be secure and feast on His faithfulness. So when everything is telling me that I'm alone, I am not alone. My Father's with me. The Holy Spirit, the great, powerful Holy Spirit is inside me. I'm trusting God. I've got at least 7,000 promises of God in the Word. He's not going to break one of them. Not one of them. And so instead of living afraid, saying all the time, what are we going to do? Where are we going to get rent? Where are we going to get food? Where are we going to get transportation? Say out of your mouth, my Father owns all the gold and silver and cattle upon 1,000 hills. Say, my Father is greater than them all. No man can pluck me from His hands. Say that if God be for me, who can be against me? Say, my God knows the end from the beginning, and He knows what things I have need of even before I ask. You know, Hagar is an Egyptian maidservant. She doesn't really maybe know that much about Jehovah, but she has lived in, you know, for 13, 14 years in Abraham in his tent as his other wife. And when she and her son Ishmael, which by the way, Ishmael means he hears. When they get driven out of their home overnight, how many of you would like to be, you know, you're basically living in one of the wealthiest households, if not the wealthiest household on planet Earth. The man you're married to is actually heir of planet Earth. I mean, life is good. And oh, by the way, one morning about 10 a.m., that husband of yours walks up and says, "You're out. Here's a skin, a canteen of water, and one single loaf of bread. And it's been great. We'll see you." Now, that's how she took it. Abraham struggled with that, but God said, "Do what Sarah says. The son of the bondwoman will not be heir with the son of the free." Oh, but by the way, because Ishmael is your son, I'm going to make him a great nation. Which is exactly what he told Hagar 13, 14 years earlier in the wilderness there where she was lost and ran away from Sarah in Genesis 16. And in that terrible, confused place, God gave her that promise. And she named that God, you know, she gave God a name. The God who sees me. The God who sees me. So let me ask you this right now. Is God seeing you? Well, yeah. Is He seeing you like one in a crowd? Or is He seeing you? Is He drawing near you? Is He numbering your hair on your head while He comes near you? Is He keeping those tears in a bottle? Has He looking at every day He wrote in a book for you? Trust Him. He is your God. Trust Him. He is the God who sees me right now. And God, you're going to see me trust you. You know, God saw His people coming out of Egypt. And God heard them. As He watched them, He heard them say these words. Yeah, God did provide a river in the wilderness. But can He provide bread too? Now think about that. The insanity of that statement. God caused in a wilderness desert while His people were walking on hot sand. All of a sudden an earthquake happened. It says he caused, in Psalm 78, He caused the rocks to split in half. Boom! God opened up a reservoir, split the reservoir, split the desert, and all this water formed a river. Not a little creek, a river. In the wilderness, in the desert. And all 3 million people could bathe and drink to their... They had the guts and the unbelief at such a stinking level that they would mock God. Yeah, God gave us river, a water, a river in the desert. But can He provide bread? And when God... It says when God heard their unbelief, He was furious. And those people got what they got. Their unbelief. They got their unbelief. Trust God. Trust God today. Trust God. I'm not just saying it. I mean, I know you guys hear this. But make the decision today that you will never not trust God. I don't care if it looks like you're going to die. Trust Him. Trust Him. I got four reasons why you should always trust the Lord. Because God is your Heavenly Father. And His name is faithful and true. Some fathers can't be trusted. Do I need to go any further on that? No. There's a lot of fathers that have just blown it every step of the way. But not this Heavenly Father. He's your Father and He loves you. You're His child. And you're safe. And His eye is on you. Number two, because God has filled the earth with His hased, loving kindness, covenant love. That Hebrew word hased, it means covenant love. And that covenant love has three spheres or canopies that make up covenant love. Provision, protection, and purpose. And that covenant love, it says in Psalms 33:5, the earth is filled with good, His goodness. That word goodness in the King James, New King James, is that word hased. It's filled with God's covenant love for you and me. Okay? The earth is already... See, He put a a road in the Red Sea that nobody knew was there because His covenant love saw that His people needed a way through the Red Sea. And so I want to encourage you today that right now God's got all provision, all protection, and all purpose for you. It's already there for you. Amen? Number three, because God in His providence watches over me. Deuteronomy 11 and Psalms 34 tell me that His eye is on me from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And number four, because God cannot lie. You go into Hebrews and read about Hebrews 6, how God, by two immutable promises, His promise and then His oath, swore that He won't break that promise. God who can't lie. It says He can't lie. Guys, you can trust God because He's going to tell you the truth. I could tell you a couple more. You know, that's His integrity, to keep His promise, the power to perform His promise. God has power to perform and integrity to keep every one of His promises for you. Stand on your feet. So this morning, as we've visited this topic of trusting in the Lord, let's make it our declaration that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us, knows our name, and said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And He said He would bring us through. So Father, today, Lord, we thank You that You're bringing us through. That no matter what life dishes out, You're greater. You're the greater one. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Okay, You have overcome them, little children, for the Father lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus lives in you. And He'll never, never leave you or forsake you. So, Father, we thank You. We put our trust in You. We put all, we rely on You. We lean our entire personality upon You right now. We don't put our trust in ourselves, our own plans. We seek You. Roll Your works upon the Lord. And we'll talk about this in 3 weeks, or I guess 2 weeks from now, on commitment. Committing Your way to the Lord and what that really means. So, Father, bless our church today. The River Family Church. Thank You, Lord, that You are blessing Your people with Your presence, Your power, Your provision today. We put our trust in You today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give someone a big hug, and then we'll see you outside for fellowship.